coming around to 5 minutes past 6 o'clock, at least in Lincoln, England. Whether the same time is there in Leicester, England, I don't know, but maybe midweek drivette, who's been absent from the midweek drive team since she graduated with a degree in journalism from the University of Lincoln a few years ago now, will be able to tell us. Tiffany Freeman, how are you?
Hello, I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Yay, wonderful. Now, Tiffany, when did you actually graduate?
2014.
Exactly. And it was only because I happened to notice it was your birthday, and I said, each time you came back onto the midweek drive, you said you actually missed it. So I said, come on, sort the wing through now. And I can introduce you to another ace journalism graduate, Tessa Snott, who's just graduated this year. So there we are.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Hello. Lovely to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
So, Tiffany, you, of course, were with us when we did our last 33 and a third hour broadcast, or 27-hour broadcast, the non-stop thing. You actually came, you supported Ed Wellman and myself, you saw the whole thing through. What have you been getting up to since graduating and saying, that's it, I can take no more, I can only, all of those sort of shows from that point of view. What have you been doing?
Well, I've just moved back to Leicester and I've been there ever since, really, working. And missing student life, but working now, yeah.
Well, that's why we've actually given you some updates on your life as a graduate in Leicester.
Right.
Now, we also have the awesome David Fox with us.
Great to be here. Lovely to course, hear from you, Tiffany.
Hello.
Hello there.
Nice to meet you.
Leicester, yeah. Foxes. Let's see what we did there.
Oh,
you see the connection?
This is it. You've got to be sharp.
So share with us, what are you currently doing, Tiffany? I mean, are you making use of your journalistic routine or saying, no, I've given all that up and I've decided to become a brain surgeon?
Well, it's still quite relevant, but I've gone to the dark side, so marketing and PR. So not technically journalism, but there's a lot of the same skill set involved.
It's there's a wonderful joy about public relations. That's why Tessa...
I've done the same.
Exactly.
Yeah. I remember being warned, like my first
I'm sorry.
At the University of Lincoln. Half of you will go into marketing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it happens.
Oh, yeah, we had the same talk. I remember that as well. And, that is very true. It's come true.
Yeah.
It's part of the rich tapestry of life doing its own sort of system on that scenario there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tiffany, thinking back over your time at Lincoln, what advice would you give Tessa who... I mean, Tessa, you're not really leaving, are you? I mean, because you're here.
Not left
yet,
have I?
You've got your Sound and Country Vision show here on Siren. You've got your other bits and pieces there. Doing magic from that sort of perspective. Tiffany, she's out of here. She's going down, she's off to Leicester, etc. How is the Leicester sort of experience? And, of course, since we last spoke, Leicester City did indeed win the Premiership.
Mm. Yeah, at that point, I was working for Leicester City Council, so it was quite a big deal. So we were involved in hosting a massive victory parade in Leicester to celebrate, and that was amazing. So it was definitely really great in Leicester at that time. And we're still trying to hold on to it, but I guess it's been a long time now, so we can't shout about it too much longer.
Well, yeah, let's face it, you did very well. You had Jamie Vardy. I mean, now Riyad Mahrez has seen the light and signed for a decent football side. All's going to be well with the world. Sorry, I couldn't resist a sort of Pep Guardiola line there. But I see, actually, on August the 19th, Tiffany, you were actually at the London Eye. You were actually sort of hashtag I love London. And there we are, Tiffany. Doing her. Yeah, I know, it's there.
There it is.
There she is.
I'm going to face Twinane now.
Exactly. That's the Tiffany Freeman of which Alex Leftuke has constantly been saying, come on, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going obviously from Leicester to London, did they understand you in London, Tiff?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I popped there quite a lot because my sister lives there, so it's all good.
Well,
every time I go to London, it's exciting, so I quite like it.
Yeah. You're nodding, David, clearly.
Oh, yeah, I always love going to London.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Exciting place from that point of view.
Yeah.
Good. This is nice stuff. Because, I mean, we hopefully will be going to Phil Brown in a few moments. Phil Brown actually sent me an email with Hello Mentor at the whole thing. I'll actually pass this over to Tessa so she can actually have a little perusal through this kind of thing. This was actually somebody who acknowledges that I was quite inspiring back in the day, 20 years ago. There we are. I mean, I don't know. Did the degree that you did, your journalism degree at the University of Lincoln, Tiffany, has it helped you at all?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, because I am. It's transferable skills as well, from journalism to marketing. It's all about the writing, and a lot of the course is about social media as well, and that's really relevant to what I do now. Writing the press releases, so it's just the flip side of things. Still talking to journalists. It's all really useful. And obviously, I went away for 6 months. in Holland as part of my degree as well. Oh. So that was useful. That was really good.
Getting Tiffany connecting with us from Holland was just a phenomenal in all sorts of ways. But I think we did it. We did do that connection, and it worked well.
So we did. We tried. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we succeeded.
Of course.
Yeah. Because we don't give up. Never surrender. Never give up at all.
Yeah.
David, any questions that you want to put to Tiffany?
Yes. How are you finding Leicester? Are you enjoying it there? I know the city quite well because I live in Nottingham.
Okay.
But are you enjoying Leicester?
Yeah, I mean, it's my hometown as well, so I know it very, very well. It just so happened that I moved back to my hometown after uni and got a job straight away, and then I've been in that role for 3.5 years, and I've only just started a new job now. Mm-hmm. Just kind of pushed myself to do something else. Mm-hmm. Still marketing, but private sector. Mm-hmm. So I love Leicester, obviously. At some point, I will have to move again.
You say that, Tiffany, but at the end of the day, Leicester loves you. Let's face it. So that's it. Tiff heart Leicester, Leicester heart Tiff. That's the bottom line.
You can get T-shirts, mate. Exactly.
And it opens that way forward for becoming another correspondent from that point of view, which is wonderful. I did have a little wry smile where Tiffany actually messaged me to say the words, "I've got my phone, so you can call me." Because obviously it would have been tragic if she had, getting that line forward. She's always keep that phone to hand. Tessa, any final thoughts?
Gosh, so you think you might leave Leicester, you've kind of said. Why do you think that? I mean, if you're happy in your role.
You've got a space centre, you've got premiership, you've got Leicester Tigers,
Is there something else you'd like to go on to do then in the future?
Well, to be honest, I don't really know. So I took 6 weeks off to go to Australia over Christmas, and that was amazing. And I came back and I was like, oh, so maybe something else needs to change. Mm. So I got a new job, and obviously I really enjoy that, so I'll do that for a while. And then after that, I don't know. So my plan is do my job and then see what happens, see where I want to go.
That's quite nice, though. You've got an open mind. Exactly. I think that's quite refreshing.
I want a dramatic photograph of Australia there that she's wearing.
Look at the colours in that.
Very good. Lovely.
Very good photo.
Very notional.
Sydney Opera House there.
Australia being visited by the Tiffany Freeman. It's quite phenomenal. Okay, still to come, we have the reveal of the envelope, which is getting ever closer, in case you're wondering about this envelope. It's actually there, so you have that envelope in front of you. Before that, though, of course, we're going to speak hopefully to Phil Brown and hopefully to adventurer extraordinaire Philippa Stewart. Yeah. And we got Robin Pierce. But Tiffany, I don't know if you can remember, back in the mists of time, when you first did those Origins of Modern Britain stories and various other factors, because I think you came along to a few of the location reports. You were with us at the Newark and Nottinghamshire County Show, I think, if memory serves.
Yeah,
or Nottinghamshire Show. Have you heard, can you remember those last two questions, I mean, at all? Or is it a case of, what is he speaking about? I mean, this is as difficult to understand as the reporting and continuity module that I used to do. What's it all about?
Okay, I can remember slightly, but only because I heard previously earlier on.
Ooh, she's been listening to the show.
The exact wording.
Yes. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us, Tiffany Freeman?
There we go. It's been amazing. Thank you very much for having me back on.
I wouldn't say it's amazing. It's just you made it, so that's the important
thing. I'm excited. It's good to be here.
And that's why we appreciate you, Tiffany. We've missed you far too long. So allowing for that, can you officially sign up as our official Leicestershire correspondent? Will you be kind enough to return in the very near future?
Yep, if you'll have me back, definitely.
What do you think, Tessa? Because obviously you have the sort of acid test on sort of former midweek driver. You're in pole position, head girl now.
Oh, goodness. No, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Tiff and Tess works well.
Do you see what I said there? Exactly. No. Tess and Tiff and Tess. It's wonderful.
It works.
Great. Good. Well, that's it then. Tiffany Freeman will return.
Right, thank you. We were on fire. I set your tires. It's like we burn so bright, we burn out. I made you chase me. I wasn't that friendly. My love, my drug, we burn out. Oh. 'Cause I've been on the run so long they can't find me. You're waking up to remember I'm pretty. And when the chemicals leave my body, yeah, they're gonna find me in a hotel lobby. 'Cause times they keep coming all night, laughing at some days like I'm barely.
It may well be a beautiful trauma when you're trying to produce a programme and you schedule somebody to come in at 6 o'clock and then they go to voicemail and you think, what's going to go on there, etc. But the great news, Tessa, Lauren and David, is we can welcome a fantastic freelance producer and indeed a lecturer and unit leader in audio journalism and major multimedia project in a BA Multimedia Journalism at the Faculty of Media and Communications, Bournemouth University, to the programme. It's Phil Brown. How are you, Phil?
Alex, it is a joy and a pleasure to be speaking with you again. The thrill of live radio, I'm keeping you on the edge of your pants. Where would you be without that rush of adrenaline?
Hey, right? Phil, you said that when you were a student, and I've always liked to kind of work through that process. Now, this we thank Gary Stevens, who indeed taught Tessa Snot.
Yes, I thought I recognised that.
Yeah, that very Gary Stevens, who attended a BJTC, it's a journalism connection thing, so, summer conference. And I had a message from Gary saying, oh, I think I met somebody, one of your students. I said, really, Gary? Have we got a name? No, absolutely. Couldn't remember it at all. So I passed on your email address. I thought, fine, may or may not hear it said. And then with the headline, hello, mentor, I get this blast from the past, Phil Brown.
Yeah.
The message basically being, of course, Lauren, as I said, just wait 20 years and some of my advice may pay off. I don't know. So, Phil, Lauren was a graduate. Soon to be a graduate. You're a graduand at present because you're first class honours in the subject of public relations.
Yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Exactly. So when you get congratulations from Phil Brown, as indeed the other founder members of Siren, we're talking serious historical pieces here because it was Phil Brown, Theresa Hunt, Ross Bowring, Gay Lofthouse, and
right.
A few other fine folk who are effectively responsible for where we're sitting in now. Except we were in Hull at the time.
Amazing.
Exactly. That's Hull as opposed to Hell. It's easily confused with that. Sorry, Humberside listener.
Isn't it amazing how, and out of all that lot, Gail Lofthouse, I would probably say, is the one who's gone on to do greater, bigger and better things. She's a presenter on BBC Radio Leeds now, I think.
She's doing very well, is Gail. And when we last met up a couple of years ago, she also was very quick to actually thank me for doing various other bits of pieces.
Brilliant.
But Phil, so share this with, because I mean, I was so overjoyed with this. I even printed out a copy of the email and have passed it over to Tessa and Lauren to actually peruse. Tessa has also graduated with first class honours in journalism.
Fantastic, well done.
Because these days, of course, well, actually, we're coming full circle because I'm now programme leader for the subject of communications and public relations.
Yay!
Oh, still more to come on that. Tessa, would you like to quiz? Use your journalistic expertise here. Would you like to quiz the excitement of Phil Brown whilst we sort out a set of headphones for? Clearly we need a set
I
of headphones.
For,
exactly.
I can Lauren, hear you now, Phil.
Would you be kind enough to go and get a set of headphones for David from one of the other studios? There, that would be fine. Tessa, the interview mantle is now yours.
Yes. Well. Okay. It's in my hands now.
Great start. This is what we like. This is where we actually say, take that, Simon Mayo, and your partner, Joe, from BBC Radio 2. You know, this is where we have that instantaneous chemistry feel. That's
what's a little bit of information if you're going to mention those two. One of the students that I taught has recently been reading the sports news into the Simon Mayo and Joe Wiley show, and I am so proud of that.
Do you know, Phil, that's a bit like, I suppose, technically, my grand student, isn't it, really? You know, it's like, you know, yeah, you must yeah, do, yeah, then there's the grand yeah, students yeah, there.
Yes, yeah, so this is, wow, we've got generations here. So,
that's right.
Alex, you taught. Yeah,
you taught. Passing the parcel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are you up to these days, Phil? Tell us a bit about your background. I mean, you've gone into journalism, I presume, or PR, or...
No, I've fallen into lecturing, really, and that happened about 4 years ago. So this coming semester, I'm going to be the unit leader on the audio journalism unit, which is going to be specifically, focusing on conventional and digital, you know, forms of radio. And I'm also going to be the unit leader of a unit for third years called Major Multimedia Project, which is sort of where they can showcase everything they've learned over the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. And telling one story using all the different mediums and, you know, choosing the best method to do so and making sure all the dots join up. So that's really... I mean, I won't bore you with the contractual situation, but I do that 4 days a week, and the rest of the time I'm either freelancing as a producer, be it for the BBC or for a company called IMG, a private sector company, or I'm parenting. I now have two children as well, which seemed like a pipe dream when I was a...
Actually spent too much time with respect to classes. I say, so when you have children, Phil, let's talk about this whole sort of sequence from that perspective. I'll ask about this very flat by saying a belated thank you for all you taught me and reinforcing my love and passion for radio, which has been with me for as long as I can remember.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. I mean, I loved radio before uni, I think since I was a really little boy, but... But the actual fun of making radio was all Alex, really. Yeah. And you know, that's where I learned tape. I'm not an old fuddy-duddy, and I don't think, oh, I wish we were still cutting tape, because I don't. But it's brilliant for me. You know, just like I've seen video gaming being someone who used to play an Atari and has now gone to play an Xbox One, being able to see the radio industry grow and the way you create programs using old conventional methods and how it's grown into the way you do it now and digitally, and I've grasped every single stage of it. You know, when I started at the BBC, it was a really, really basic digital system that it looked like a sort of BBC micro display, and it was really basic. And then I started using Cool Edit Pro, and then that mutated into Adobe Audition, and I've become a huge whiz at using that. And then, I'm ready for the next stage. Yeah, bring it on.
The bottom line, Tessa and Lauren, I expect a similar email from yourself in 2038. Okay?
Yeah.
Just keep people going on that sort of basis. Lauren, any questions you'd like to put to Phil?
Storytelling. Oh. What's your favourite medium for storytelling?
Me?
Yeah.
No, it's radio. It's easily radio. It's unrivaled, the medium of sound. It's because it's so immersive, and you know you're not it, and you and it's. I love listening more than I do reading. I think, you know, other people would probably say it's writing. I can completely understand that, because again, it's that other method of painting pictures in your mind. But just, you know, it could just be someone's voice, a sound, a space in between something, somebody saying something, you know, it can convey so much in such a short period of time. And, you know, there are even, like, methods of telling, you can tell a story or you can fill in the blanks of a story just by insinuating something, you know.
And that Phil Brown is one of the reasons why this programme has been dedicated to magic on air, because you can't beat it, can you? Can you, David Fox? You
know,
a little bit of magic coming through there. We are literally about 15 minutes away from the final reveal of this envelope that's been... set the scene, please, David. Please explain for Phil, and maybe our late-coming listener to podcast or live, what exactly this has all been about.
Of course. Thank you, Alex. Yes. I appreciate that. Yeah. Actually, what I did, Phil, was I posted Alex... a brown envelope. It's in the safe hands of Tessa here in the studio.
You can see a photograph on our Facebook page, Phil.
It's on there if you want to jump on. But what I've actually asked is for Alex and Tessa, they've selected something, okay, but there will be a third reveal as well. So there's
Is that Lauren as well? She got a third reveal.
Precisely, yes, yes. So everybody will be able to help with this. But there's something, it's all very exciting. It's all good. The tension rises.
Prizes for everyone, quite literally. Awesome prizes for everyone. Phil, I suspect, given that it's been 2 decades, you might have forgotten those last 2 questions. So I'll ask Lauren to put them to you.
Okay.
Phil, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Oh, yeah, live radio, yeah, of course. It is bizarre. I have been on the radio a little bit, but I prefer making it.
That's one of the reasons why you made Radio 5 Live Showcase programme for the 20th anniversary of Radio 5 Live.
That is absolutely true. Yes, I did. And, I mean, that's an amazing journey. I started 6 months after I graduated. I became the office boy. Now, that role doesn't exist anymore because of the shortfall in the funding.
It's sexist as well, basically. It should be office person, let's be honest. You know,
yeah, it was. I was the office boy. And, goodness me, yeah, you're right. My apologies.
Where's your BBC training? Compliance, Phil, please, compliance.
Well, it was telephonist, that was the official role. But I did the post, and I did the fax machines, and all that. But I was picking up the phone, and people were telling me jargon and asking me questions. And no one ever taught me where to find out the answers, and I had to find out all out myself. And I just in a year, I learned so much about broadcasting and the BBC. And then I became a broadcast assistant on World Surface Sports, and then. Then I moved over to 5 Live, and then I started making goal montages. And I'll tell you something that happened in one of the turning points of my career was for the Euro 2000 football championships. I was asked to make a review of the tournament, and all I did was put 7 minutes of goals back to back together.
That's like watching Pep Guardiola in action, really. It's like Man City's dream.
And my producer dropped it, and he told me why. And I said to myself, I am never going to make something that someone's going to drop ever again.
No,
and then that was when I went on to develop my storytelling methods on the radio.
Keep those quality aspects going, as indeed every edition of the Midweek Drive tries to prove from that point of view. It's probably the longest answer you've ever had to the first question, Lauren, so better get the second question in now.
I guess we can expect to have you maybe even here with us next time. Would you like that?
Yeah, will you join us back again on the show?
Oh, I'd love to. I'd really love to. I'd love to be in person, actually. And I've been. And it's funny, actually, because I actually went. I came to. Is it called Brayton Pool?
Brayford Pool, but if you're slightly dyslexic, Brayton will probably get there.
Up and did a live programming, I think, in about 2000.
Well, you could have dropped by, couldn't you, Phil? You could have dropped by, but you said no. I'll give it 17 more years. Give it 18 more years.
It was presented by John Inverdale, and I came up and I was the floor manager for that program. It was a sort of like question time on the radio, and it was thoroughly impressive.
John was very lucky to have you. That's all I can say.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that endorsement. Always good, always helpful from that point of view. There aren't that many of us around these days, so that's marvellous. Phil Brown will return, even from Bournemouth. I know, it's amazing. They've got Eddie Howe. They've got a football team. They're scoring goals. It's amazing. Bournemouth.
Great. Before you drop me,
yes?
Alex, can I ask you something?
Of course.
Do you still roll your R's like you used to on the radio? It was a beautiful thing.
You would like me to roll my R's, would you?
That's the one.
Just for you, eh?
Around
the rugged rock.
Yeah, well, he does still do that sometimes. I've heard him before. So.
Tessa, you should have said something. You know, all of those location reports. I mean, I feel as though I'm like a performing monkey here, honestly. Never mind. Love's Great Adventure. Take us round to adventurer extraordinaire, Pip Stewart. Say farewell and a round of applause to Phil Brown, please.
Yay! Anytime. Thanks very much for having me.
Street.
Now, when you've studied history and politics at Oxford University and then worked in Asia for 5 years as an anchor and reporter in Hong Kong and Malaysia, and then started reporting on the Malaysian election, producing political and travel multimedia stories for The Telegraph, BBC, CNN and South China Morning Post, you might sort of think, OK, that's all right, we'll go with that. No, 2013, you decide to cycle home from Malaysia to London. Cycle home from Malaysia to London. I'll say that again for just re-energised effect. And started working as Red Bull's adventure editor. How many miles do you think she actually covered, Lauren, for this particular adventure?
Many thousands.
10,000 miles and 26 countries in a year on her bike. Yes.
Very impressive. It's
and she's still going, and just about to actually, in association with wonderful geography areas, etc., go off on a tour of the country, doing a whole range of things about the Amazon. It's the return of Pip Stewart. How are you, Pip?
Hello, Alex. I've been better, to be honest.
Well, this is true.
Flesh-eating parasite, yeah. Unfortunately, in Guyana.
I'll just say that one more time, because, again, it's important that after the cycling, she goes to Guyana and she encounters a flesh-eating parasite. So she's been a bit of a poorly Pip, actually, but never mind. You're here with us now, and as I said a few weeks ago, we're sending positive vibes. This is the first of a two-parter that we're working through from that point of view. But an adventurer, journalist, presenter, hippie at heart with a love for travel, meditation, health and well-being. My first question for you from the showreel, Pip. When you were sorting out those crocodiles and you decided to lie down with the crocodiles, what were you thinking, my girl?
Well, we were with them government scientists, so they were taking measurements and they were like, well, if you lie down, we'll get a rough idea of how tall they are or how long they are compared to you. So I wasn't thrilled about it, to be honest, but it's one of those things. It's quite interesting, scientific research and all of that.
Well, I mean, this is part of the showreel, of course, in which you start off by consuming some wonderful devices. And you've also suggested that if you're stuck in the Amazon rainforest, etc., and you fancy actually cleaning your teeth, which you should do, obviously, good health, etc., I think you suggest locusts, is that correct?
Termites.
Termites.
So bizarre thing, our Peruvian guide, Aldo, I ran out of toothpaste and he said to me, completely deadpan, you know what, Pip, you should really try termites. And I'm like, is he winding me up? I'm not entirely sure here, because Aldo was a bit of a joker, but actually it turns out they're very minty. So there's a slight crunch and a bit of an aftertaste, but, you know, whether they actually clean well, I don't know, but they definitely left you with that minty fresh feeling.
Well, anybody can have the strapline on your showreel, I eat bugs and tell stories, not necessarily in that order. Midweek driver, yeah. Come back, goodbye. It's there, sorted, done and dusted. Lauren, any thoughts or questions?
What other interesting things have you eaten on your travels?
Yes, the things that Pip has consumed on your travels.
Well, do you know what? My latest expedition, three of us, my friends, kayaked down a river in the Amazon called the Essequibo in Guyana. And we were with the indigenous Waiwai community, and Jackson, one of the guides, caught an armadillo. And so we tried armadillo for breakfast, which was bizarre because you put it on the fire overnight and it got nice and crispy, and then that was served as breakfast. And they do have a crispy outer shell, which we aren't meant to eat. But that was probably one of the weirder things that I've eaten, for sure.
Now, Pip, I'm not sure whether you're going to be ready for this, because I know we're going to talk about your journey around the country. Yes, I know, from the Amazon to Darlington Civic Theatre. It's astounding. So we are. It's Darlington Theatre. but one of the things I was particularly taken with here on your showreel was when you attempted to call cattle using the cattle call. Do you feel set to actually give our Midweek Drive team, that's magician David Fox and ace journalism graduate Tessa Snart and ace public relations graduate Lauren Wood, the official, the sort of sound we should be making if we ever find ourselves in need of wanting to speak to cattle?
Do you actually want me to do this? Because you might want to turn your radio down, but I'll give it a go.
Yep, yeah, please. Yep.
Take my headphones off.
Yep, yeah, done.
Oh, ho, ho!
Genius. Oh, oh! Oh,
what? Yeah, you've got it.
Oh, I've practiced. I spent the afternoon actually practicing that, just to
cow whispering from the Amazon. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's
50% success rate,
which is all you need. You know, that's classic stuff on that sort of system. On a serious note, I was astounded to find that the Amazon rainforests are being deforested at a fantastic rate and a very appalling rate from that point of view. And one of the reasons why you're getting involved with this, together with obviously, share with us the agency that you said we must mention these geographical people because it's very important because they're helping sponsor the tour, etc.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm doing this in conjunction with the Royal Geographical Society, trying to raise awareness really about what's going on in the Amazon, because it's one of those things where, you know, I grew up hearing, oh, the Amazon's in trouble and this and that. And even until I was, like, on the ground, even though I'd read loads of newspaper articles and reports about it, when you see it, when you see for yourself and talk to the people that are affected, it was devastating in a sense. And we've lost 20% of the Amazon already. And it is such an important region for the entire world. It's something that I was really keen to come back and talk about. You can't, I don't know, as a journalist, I felt like I couldn't see all these things, such as gold mining and cattle ranching, and then come back and keep quiet about it. So, yeah, I'm really grateful to the RDS for helping me with this tour, and hopefully, yeah, raising some awareness, telling some stories, and putting a more human face on what's going on in the Amazon.
Absolutely. Now we're going to do that. Now I've frozen the show reel, and as well, we'll check out the joys of philippastewart.com to find out these marvellous things from this point of view, reflections from the Amazon. But that is the moment, Tessa, where Philippa effectively, and she does actually say hello in a slightly nervous tense to the crocodile that is right next door to her.
She is literally laying right next door to this crocodile.
Yeah, it's the crocodile. Now, I mean, exactly, David, in terms of your magical routine, I think that might just be a step too far, really.
Oh, I think so. Very impressive. Very impressive.
I mean, Lauren, sure, I know you work with respect to sound links and that, but they never really have the crocodiles coming in to actually sort of say, let's lie down by this crocodile, really.
No, you don't.
So, Pippa, from your own point of view, was the crocodile okay? Did it sort of chill out afterwards? Was it okay, so it's all right, another tourist will deal
chilled
with this? Exactly.
In the photo.
Yeah, well, funny enough, it's a bit, how do I put this? It was a bit of a funny one because there was overpopulation in the area of them. Mm-hmm. So the scientists were trying to figure out what was going on, what could be done. So literally, yeah, they were capturing them, releasing them back once they'd got all the data. It was absolutely terrifying, bearing in mind that we're going out in the middle of the night, and I'm not an animal expert here. I don't know how creatures are going to react. And you're shining your torch around this pitch-black lake, or river, rather, and all you can see are these red eyes staring back at you. And suddenly, the scientists are, like, launching into the water, pulling these things out, and they're in, like, our dugout canoes. And you think, oh, my gosh, if we go in, we are truly stuffed. Because I think they said that there are about 40,000.
I think that's much, not as much stuffed as eaten, Pippa, basically. That's the key thing.
Exactly.
The crocodile will be stuffed with yourself. And that's not quite the angle we'd look for. You know, it's difficult to actually work on
that.
Incredible. But, you know, hats off for that alone. As we said, Pip, you've cycled along Brazil's Trans-Amazonian Highway. You've lived with indigenous communities in Peru. You've paddled Guyana's Essequibo River from source to sea, which was apparently a world first, accompanied by the local Waiwai tribe. And you just keep on going. I love that line in your bio that you're currently in London, but planning your escape.
It's very true, very true.
Yeah. And as we said, the Darlington Hippodrome will be graced by your presence on Tuesday the 6th of November. We must organise a trip to actually see that particular aspect. Yeah. This has been part one of a two-parter because Pip has got so much to sort of share. Hopefully, all being well, assuming that flesh-eating bug, oh no, doesn't get messy.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, what's the medication is based on? I mean, you're still with us at Search for, because I mean, we hear about necrotizing fasciitis and all sorts of other bits and pieces there, which can, let's face it, be a little bit scary. I mean, you know, Tessa, when you go to Nashville, you don't expect to have that. The prognosis hopefully will be good for next week. So, first of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephone link with us on the program this evening, Philippa Stewart?
Sorry, what was that? Thanks.
Has it been okay for you, Philippa? Has the link been good?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Thank you so much.
I like to feel that connection is there over the years, because it's been a wee while since we spoke to Pip. So, all being well, are you set and ready to return similar time next week?
I can't wait. Fingers crossed, flesh-eating parasite doesn't progress too far into my neck.
It makes our lives feel just that little bit sort of more interesting, I think, from that point of view.
That's you on edge.
Yeah, exactly. A round of applause for Philippa Stewart, please. Me. Robin Pearce can be found from his wonderful castle in Wales, corresponding with Sam Stone and David J. Howe on our regular monthly Stone Tapes, which of course you can download in any way, shape or form onto the device of your choosing. But every so often we like to get Robin onto the Midweek Drive, specifically today because he's a very exciting individual. He's a lead writer with Starburst magazine. He's done fantastic reviews of Meg. He's going to review this show, actually. Robin Pearce, welcome to the programme.
Hello there, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. We've managed to keep the crocodiles out of the studio and in the Brayford pool. Tess has been thriving, I think, fair to say.
I think so. I hope so.
She's,
yes, yeah.
Wonderful stuff. Yeah. Lauren, have you enjoyed your period of time on the programme so far?
I have. It's always a little bit short, but I always do enjoy being here.
It goes downhill from
short,
this point on.
Yeah, there you go.
And, of course, David Fox, again, doing your magic as the things proceed, because this is the moment that Robin has been very excited for. But before we move into this whole piece, Robin, how have you found the last 1 hour, 40 minutes? Because Robin, bless him, from Wales, has actually been tuned into the programme since we started at 5 p.m. UK time.
Oh, it's been endlessly entertaining. Radio magic, I mean, that was a new one. It took me back to my childhood. Do you remember the ventriloquist Ray Allen?
Oh, Lord Charles.
Yes, he had a radio show. He used to do ventriloquism on the radio.
my dad often talks about
exactly
that, yes.
That, and the Clitheroe Quid, it's like a whole new world, really.
These
are things you can research, Lauren and Tessa, and find your whole new world as it opens up. Anyway, any particular favourite correspondence that you'd like to give a name check to, Robin? I mean, clearly we could... Anna Lewis, Bill Coles, Arthur Weingarten, Owen Glacken, Phil Brown, Tiffany Freeman, Pip Stewart...
I did enjoy Pip Stewart and her intriguing adventures, eating mint-flavoured cockroaches, lying with alligators or
termites.
Eating aardvark. Oh, my God.
I'm thinking of introducing it as a special part of the Stone Tapes next month. Don't say anything to David or Sam. They might be a bit sort of panicky if I just sort of say, have you tasted this?
Can I go on before her? Because I feel I have nothing interesting to say now.
Oh, God.
I sit in cinemas and I read comic books.
And there's nothing wrong with that, sir, because we're about to go through... What do you think, Lauren? Should we have this reveal?
Yes,
I've been waiting.
And
for
Tessa, are you set and ready for this?
I'm ready. I've been ready for
okay,
so long.
Okay, right. So what do we do now...
Let's go for it. Well, I think we need to start with Tessa's got the brown envelope. Could you open the brown envelope, please, Tessa?
Now, you can open it.
And the tension's building. The tension's
ready?
Building.
Here.
Open the
brown
envelope.
I've ripped the first corner.
Indeed.
Tessa's got nice little fingernails here. Perfect for opening up the... We didn't need the scissors. We didn't need the scissors today.
We are in the envelope.
Inside there are three envelopes.
Okay, there we go. I'll pass them over to you.
I am going to give envelope. I'll give the envelope here to Lauren.
Thank you.
And I'll give this one here to Tessa. Okay. Now, maybe the first envelope that I gave to Lauren, way back at the beginning of the show, I asked Alex to select a playing card. Mm. Can you just turn over the playing card now?
I haven't seen this at all.
You haven't seen it.
This whole thing, I'm going to lift it out from under the machine. It is actually still there. Yes, I have. Do I need to show it to anybody?
You can tell us what that is now.
It is the Two of Diamonds.
Lauren, would you care to open up your envelope and let's see what's inside Lauren's envelope, the first of these three envelopes.
See, this is what you call a whole new area, which could have the Joker and Batman. It could be Batman Heavy Metal. It could be Batman marrying Catwoman.
There's an envelope within an envelope. Oh, wow. You could open up that little brown envelope within the white envelope.
It's Inception.
Who needs the tailoring of Los Angeles from building on this sort of system? Yes. It's amazing stuff.
And you can take out what card is inside the envelope there, Lauren.
It is indeed the Two of Diamonds.
The Two of Diamonds.
So far, so good.
A random card that I selected has been matched.
One out of three. Now, the next envelope is Tessa's envelope. I asked Tessa to select a little lottery ticket, or raffle ticket, I should say. Mm. What number does the raffle ticket have on that there?
477. 477. 477. A yellow ticket.
Would you care to open up your envelope?
Yes, okay, here
that
goes.
That would be lovely.
All right.
Excellent.
Okay. I can almost sense the anticipation in Wales, Robin, as the entire principality is actually excited by what's actually being revealed here.
I'm really intrigued.
There's another little envelope inside here. Yes.
It's a cute little envelope.
This is where the Oscars went wrong all those years ago, a couple of years ago. They were mixing that envelope up. It's only under La La Land had a problem.
And there's a couple of pieces of paper in there. Can you tell us what number is on the first piece of paper?
So shall I just open it up?
You can just open that up.
This way.
Or you can turn over.
That way.
Oh my goodness.
It is the very same number. 477.
477.
And there's also a picture of something in there as well, Tessa.
Yes. Is it? Oh.
It's a bottle of wine. Actually, yes, I did bring a bottle of wine in the bag, which incidentally has 477 on the back of the bottle.
Look at that. Wow.
And don't worry, Lauren, I will be doing a trick with a bottle of wine for you as well shortly. Okay. So everybody gets something to take away.
If Lauren doesn't have a bottle of wine, frankly, she's in the nightmare the next few weeks.
The final envelope is here. We'll just tear this open. Okay, so this is the third envelope. And there's something inside this little envelope, ladies and gents.
Oh, gosh.
And there's another envelope.
Just imagine how much fun the Academy Awards could be, Robin, if they actually introduced this, and BAFTAs as well.
That's
great.
I'm actually going to touch this. There's a little wallet inside here. I'm just going to open this up. There's a piece of paper inside this little wallet. Now, would you care, Tessa, just to pull that out for us?
Okay, here goes.
Okay, now before we open that up, what I'm going to ask is Lauren just to read out the headline. This is today's Daily Telegraph. Mm. It's got today's date on it, which is
just to set the scene, today's Daily Telegraph, you posted this particular thing to me a week ago by recorded delivery. It has remained sealed. I haven't actually done anything. It has done. It's been opened today. This is the big sort of thesis. Lauren, what's the headline on the Daily Telegraph today? Other newspapers are, of course, available.
It is ex-criminal magistrates would boost diversity.
Excellent. And the photograph on the front, could you maybe describe what's on the photograph?
Trevor and Lenny.
Trevor and Lenny.
A portrait of the two people.
Excellent. Looking suited and booted, I must
Very
add.
Very suited and booted.
So ex-criminal magistrates would boost diversity and two well-known celebrities suited and booted in the front. Could you just open up that little piece of paper there?
When you say
there,
well-known, everything's open to us. Celebrity Big Brother, really?
Excellent.
Have they been on the Midweek Drive? I think not. Anyway, Stormy Daniels walked out.
Okay.
Okay.
Shall I
Here goes. In your finest voice, Tessa.
Here we go. Okay. So, on the 22nd of August 2018, the headline of the Daily Telegraph will contain language of a legal nature. The word criminal is highly likely to appear. I also see an image of two very well-dressed men. They are most likely celebrities. Big Ben comes to mind. David Fox.
Now, Big Ben, driving up the road in the car today.
My goodness.
When I saw Trevor McDonald, I think the link there is possibly with 10 o'clock news. It's a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh my
there
goodness,
we go.
There we go. Yeah. So it's all in there.
The revelation, yes.
Incredible.
Okay. And I think you guys deserve a round of applause for helping me out here. Thank you, and it's been a great time. Thanks.
Was it worth the wait, Robin Pearce, or do you feel strangely out of it in Wales?
Well, the descriptions of what was going on were amazing. I am astounded. That's really impressive.
So everyone's speechless now.
Just as though we've only got a few minutes to go on the programme, really. That's the key thing from that.
I can stop sweating now as well.
Yes.
I can relax a bit.
So, and clearly, we can't ask how you did it because you could tell us, but then you'd have to shoot us, so that's not going to happen. Because obviously it'd be messy and we'd have all sorts of problems from that point of view. And I need to do a midweek drive morning edition tomorrow morning as well. So
yes.
Sort our way through that process. But when you first introduced that, David, was that a case of you thought this is a huge gamble here? Or was it a case of no, there's no gamble, it's just the way things are?
Yes, it is a gamble when you do something like that. And I'm just delighted that we've had some success here today. The next time, maybe we can try something a little bit different.
Complete failure.
But you always take a little bit of a gamble. But I really appreciate you guys allowing me to try out today. And you've been fantastic, as always.
Yes.
I can stop shaking.
So Robin, it's over to you for question time now. Who would you like to have a chat with? David, Tessa or Lauren? It's over to you, Robin.
Ooh. Okay, here's a question for everybody. Is doing the show live in the studio as much fun as it sounds?
Oh, most definitely. I think it's more, yeah. I agree.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, we're very good actors, actually. We go off after this basically and say, oh, darling, you're marvellous.
You just never know what's going to happen, though. It's very off the cuff, isn't it?
I like to feel like I've got a general schedule from
that. And you put it together great, and then we all come on and...
And exactly, magic ensues.
That's where the magic happens.
Magic ensues. Teasing ahead to next week, we will be featuring the Lincoln Literary Festival. We'll be featuring Rosemary Langhorne and her daughter Florence Langhorne. You may not recall a series called Top of the Pops, Robin Pearce, but Rosie back in the day used to perform with Legs & Co. There we are, my first ever interviewee. She'll be with us live next week. After 5 years, she's leaving Brighton to come up, I guess. Yes, Lauren, Brighton, the home of Ben. It's amazing. Exactly. It's astounding. So that'll be happening in about, 168 hours from now. David, have you enjoyed your time on the production?
As always, thoroughly enjoy coming out. As I said to Lauren and Tessa here, it's always a very positive vibe around Cyrene. It's always great to come in and share that with you.
Four hours ago, of course, Paul Mount, Andrew Pollard, Maria Pearce, David J. Howe, and myself actually liked Robin Pearce's post. I have the privilege of being a guest on Cyrene FM's Midweek Drive tonight. No, Robin, we have the privilege of having you as a guest on the show.
Thank you.
Very much looking forward to the team. If you've missed any of the production, there will be a podcast available probably within, I'd say, 16 hours from now. So that's exciting, isn't it, Lauren? Shameless plug for sound links in Lincoln, please, Lauren.
If you're interested in music, it's the place to be.
There you are. Interested in music, it's the place to be.
In the East Midlands.
Lauren's campaigning on East Midlands to get 1,000 new members of SoundLinks.
Well, it's not so much about that. It's just about sharing all the music events in Lincolnshire with as many people as possible, because there's a lot that goes on in this region.
Exactly. And we'll be hearing about more of those wonderful things in the near future. Tessa, you said you'd had to leave at 6:30, but you've stayed with us.
Well, I've had tea for the big reveal, haven't I? You know, I couldn't not. I mean...
It's very important. That
I was happy to stay for that.
Obviously, no Phil Learness, but we did actually have Philippa Stewart. See what we did there?
She'd
appreciate that. And Phil Learness, get well soon, because I don't think it's a flesh-eating plague that he's actually got. But I will actually suggest next week that, look, as Philippa Stewart, she can actually come on by having a flesh-eating virus from Guyana and you complaining about a sore throat. I just think, I mean, basically, Robin, I just think these TV filmmakers, etc., in Los Angeles, please, you know?
They have no gumption.
It's extraordinary. We haven't had a chance to speak about your DC Comics enthusiasm, but we'll have to save that for another time. But the current edition of Starburst is available, and I'll give it a shameless plug because normally we have Ed Fortune and indeed Kieran Moore on. It's the world's longest running magazine of cult entertainment. And a very interesting editorial by our mutual colleague Jordan, of course, or Mike, as to why he chose the Predator for the front cover as opposed to Venom. Which looks quite interesting. He does actually adopt a few sort of key choice words in terms of saying that there's key things from that. That's all we need to say at this particular moment in time, apart from... Lauren, are you back with us next week?
Oh, yes, 100%.
Excellent. Tessa, are you back with us next week?
I should be, yes.
This is marvellous. Yeah. David, you won't be back with us next week because you need to have a lie down now, having succeeded the whole thing, but you will be back in the near future.
Oh, most definitely, yes. If you want to have me back on... delighted to come back on any time.
Oh, I think lovely. It's wonderful. And of course, Tessa, it's up to you to put those last two questions to our official Welsh correspondent. As I say, we've been to Dublin, we've been to Edinburgh, we're wrapping up with Wales, and why not indeed? They need all the help they can receive over there. Oh, sorry, Wales. Would you like to put those last two questions to Robin Pearce?
Robin, have you enjoyed this magical experience on the show today?
Very much, yes, thank you.
Did you notice the way I rolled the R's
you
with
did,
Robin
you
there?
Did you
see that?
Yes.
I thought I'd do that for Phil, you
that
know,
was
one
quite
of the
nice.
Old students work on that basis. Anyway, carry on. Next question.
And will you be returning to the show again soon?
As soon as the governor gives me a call, yes.
Brilliant.
Oh, round of applause for Robin Pearce. David, how can people get in touch with your good self for David Fox Magic?
If they want to Google David Fox Magician, all my details should pop up for them there.
And you can look on Facebook as well, David Fox as well.
So
I'm sure that entertaining the family, Robin will already be checking out David Fox Magician just for that.
I will.
So there we are.
I'll be one.
Spread the word.
Thank you.